We are in week 5 of Advent, and in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at John the Baptist. This is the beginning of John the Baptist's ministry. Next week, we'll look at after John has been imprisoned, and he sends a note to Jesus, and there's some talk about who Jesus is, who John the Baptist is. That's next week. So I'm going to really focus on John the Baptist more and his identity next week. In fact, I might even come back and talk about some of this stuff next week, because next week I'm going to focus on John the Baptist. This week, what I was drawn to was the incredibly fiery sermon John preaches. Holy smokes! You children of snakes! Older translations do that. You brood of vipers! And that one's way more fun to say. So if you're ever mad at somebody, a group of people especially, you brood of vipers! Who warned you about the angry fire of judgment that's coming? I mean, it is an intense sermon. And it made me realize how good it feels to yell at people sometimes, right? I mean, we all know people that are just, in some way, idiots or sinners or terrible, and oh, what better word? I mean, John the Baptist gives us great words. You children of snakes, you brood of vipers, angry judgment is coming. He's going to sift the good from the bad and burn up the bad. Look out, he's coming for you. And it is so good sometimes to point the finger. And the church has been really, really good at this over the years. So good. The church yells and shames people who don't vote correctly, who don't so apparently care about life, who don't live good, clean lives, who have lifestyles that we think are gross somehow. Call them out, burn them down. People who don't worship the right God, or people who worship God wrongly. Like, we're good at yelling at people and telling them how they're wrong. Just this week, I have friends on Facebook posting lots of things about Christian people, posting things about Muslims and other foreigners needing to go back where they come from. And it makes me realize that when John the Baptist preaches this sermon, it is preached to the church people, not to anybody on the outside. People from all over come to the Jordan, to John, to be baptized because they want to change their hearts and lives. Many Pharisees and Sadducees came to be baptized by John, and that is when the fire comes. Many Pharisees and Sadducees came to be baptized by John, and John says to them, to the Pharisees and Sadducees, you brood of vipers. One of my favorite commentators on Matthew is named Dale Bruner, and he translates Pharisees and Sadducees as the serious and the sophisticated. He means by that, and he talks about this in his commentary, the serious lay people and the sophisticated clergy. That's what he means. It's the people who go to church. It's the people who show up. It's the people who listen to Caleb. That's who this sermon is preached to. It's not to the Muslims. These harsh words are for you and for me. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. John's sermon is a call to look inward, not outward. These fiery, hard words are a call to look in, not out. It's a call largely to repent, and about repentance and about confession. And so rather than just talk about John and talk about the sermon, I want to actually repent and confess. And so I'm going to invite us to do this. I'm going to enter into a time of prayer here in the middle of the sermon. And I'm going to stop, and I'm going to just wait. And then as you have a confession that you might confess on your own behalf or on behalf of the church, I want you to speak that confession out and say something like, for this problem that we have as the church or that I have in my own life, we confess to you, Lord, have mercy. John the Baptist's sermon is a call to look inward at our own institutions, at our own lives, at our own faults, not at the faults of others. So let's come before the Lord in prayer and do what John the Baptist is asking us to do. Lord God, we come before you humbly aware that there are things in our own lives, in our own institution, in your church, that we've messed up. And so we come before you to repent and to confess.
Lord, for all the ways that the institution of the church has harmed and hurt and devastated members of the LGBTQ community.
Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For harboring unforgiveness, Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
For our pride of whiteness.
Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For helping to invent and perpetuate white supremacy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
For all the ways the church has advanced patriarchy and caused women to feel less than. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
For looking down upon those who don't think the way that I do.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
For being slow to forgive.
Lord, have mercy. Infinite God, who reaches through the whole universe, would you forgive us for building a very small box and putting you in it? Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. God, there's lots of other things we could confess and should confess about the ways that we and your church have harmed your beloved. We thank you that you are a God of amazing grace and infinite compassion who can free us from our sins, who can cleanse us, and by the power of the Holy Spirit can bring us to new life. We ask that you would do that in us, not only for our sake, but especially for those whom we so often harm. Amen. One more brief word to say. One of the dangers of confessing and receiving forgiveness, or maybe not even receiving it, but of confessing, one of the dangers in confessing is that we can then feel good about ourselves and go about our lives just as we had before. I want to encourage us all to not use times of confession as a selfish way to feel better about ourselves, because we oftentimes do that, but rather use times of confession to change who we are. So my challenge is that we would not simply feel bad, but that we would behave differently. That we wouldn't just feel bad and then feel better about ourselves because we felt bad, but that we would do life differently. So part of the challenge is what are you going to do differently now? How are you going to not just repent, but as the Common English Bible puts it, change your heart and life? And it very well may be itty-bitty things. It may be standing up for people who are getting squashed somehow or spoken badly against. It may be risking things by speaking out. It may be donating money to an organization that really helps people. I don't know what it might be, but the challenge is to change our hearts and lives and not just feel better because we've felt bad. Let's pray. God of justice, O key of David who frees us from chains that bind, may the axe of your restorative judgment fall upon the root of our tendency to exclude. Cleanse us, cleanse your church by the fire of the Holy Spirit, that our hearts might be free to expand to embrace all people. Give us grace to not simply feel bad, but to do something differently in our lives. We ask and pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one liberating, all embracing God. Amen.